ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Looking at your finances more closely this tax time? On the ABC Business Daily podcast, we break down the stories shaping employment and the economy. And as the financial year comes to a close, we're breaking down what you need to know about super, write-offs, property, and shares in a special tax series. Hear it now. Search ABC Business Daily on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
Labor's long-delayed gambling bill looks like it's in limbo. The advertising restrictions legislation is set to be introduced to Parliament tomorrow, but the Coalition could join the Greens in punting it to an inquiry. Meanwhile, in the wake of those big scandals at PwC and KPMG, a crackdown on audit and accounting firms is on the agenda. They're known as the Big Four, with Labor unveiling an option paper to improve regulation. And some coalition talking points have made their way into the public. So will the current strategy help the party shift the dial? Welcome to Politics Now. Hi, I'm Patricia Karvelas.
And I'm David Spears.
And David, let's start on gambling because this was all, it's been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting.
For years.
Peter Murphy, of course, is the Labor MP who has sadly died, an excellent woman who was a big thinker in the Parliament. She had this big report, then the government finally responded with a pretty weak set of changes. As David Lipson and I discussed yesterday, the Greens made it clear they won't waive the legislation through in its current form. Them, David Pocock, they've all been really hardline about how far to go. They've called it to be pushed to an inquiry during the July midwinter break. Now the Coalition is putting up some obstacles. Are you surprised by that?
No, because remember Peter Dutton as leader, as opposition leader, was one of the early movers on this. He was the one who, I think from memory, wanted a 1-hour blackout on gambling ads before and a 1-hour blackout after live sporting events. And so, look, yeah, there's some history here for the Liberals. And so I'm not surprised. But look, perhaps the breadth of the pushback on the Coalition backbench was interesting to see in yesterday's party room meeting, where a whole bunch of them raised various concerns. Simon Kennedy, one of the Liberals, went into quite some personal stories. I think one of them was about, a high school teacher of his that asked to borrow money because he had the gambling problem. And, those sort of, and look, everybody seems to have a story they can point to in their lives of how, of the impact that gambling has had. So it's one of those real touchstone issues. I'm going to take a punt here, roll the dice, any other gambling pun I can use. I think PK, the government, will have to give some ground. They need to pass anything through the Senate, the Greens or the Coalition. And right now, no one seems to be their friend, the Greens, the Coalition, the crossbench. I'm not sure about One Nation, to be fair, but no one seems to like what they've put forward. So they're going to have to give some ground.
They absolutely have to. And I suspect it will be with the Coalition. Mm. I still think that's their most likely pathway because the Coalition, yes, people raise passionate stories, but think about why the government didn't want to go any further. The powerful media companies have put enormous pressure on the government through their lobbying to say, hey, our revenues will collapse if you don't take a more nuanced view in terms of advertising. Do you think they're not also in the ear of Angus Taylor and others? So I think, even if they want to kick it a little bit down the road, that's the pathway I still think is
more likely.
Right.
I think that's right. And the Greens' demands do seem to go a whole lot further, the idea of a national regulator, the idea of really cracking down on the online element here, whereas the Coalition seems to be more focused on kids watching TV and the idea that you're going to have, under the government's plan, 3 gambling ads an hour allowed up until 8:30 p.m. And the Coalition, or many in the Coalition, seem to be saying, that's not good enough. We need to go further than that. So, look, maybe there is a compromise there around the 1 hour before, 1 hour after a live sporting event.
2 ads, not 3.
Look, maybe because at the moment I think the government's proposal is none during the live event, but then it's the 3 ads an hour up till 8:30 p.m. So you can see the potential for some movement there, some compromise?
I think there will be, but I don't think it'll happen before the winter break, quite obviously.
And also you've got the New South Wales Labor Conference coming up this weekend, the federal ALP conference, the national ALP conference coming up in a few weeks. The rank and file have some strong views on this and a whole bunch of other issues. But we know even within the caucus, there are some who would like the government to be going a lot further, people who are close to Peter Murphy, who want the government to be going further than they are.
Including the minister herself, right? Annika Wells is the communications minister. Mm. She has, and I think this has been underreported internally, you know, been very much pushing as much as she can. Mm. And so, you know, don't sort of underestimate her role here too. Mm. And she was close to Peter Murphy in, you know, trying to land something when there was for a while there, you know, radical disinterest from the Prime Minister. Really, there was. Like, there was not, you know, he obviously knew he had to do something, but I don't think they had the foot on the accelerator by any means. Then she got them kind of moving on it. They came to this compromise. They'll have to toughen it up, but I think they'll get some sort of compromise with the coalition. That's my pick based on, you know, analysing their words and hearing what they've said coming up to this. And also the pressure, as I say, on the coalition on this too. Look, the other thing that happened today, which I think is very significant and consequential, is the government unveiling an options paper to improve regulation of accounting audit firms. Mm. These are the big four, right? These are super, you know, important and big employers, can I say, as well. They have big government contracts, PwC being the first scandals we saw, and now the recent KPMG scandals. Now, the KPMG in recent weeks has been facing investigation into whistleblower allegations that they misused confidential client information.
From some pretty big, well-known businesses, right? We're talking Telstra, Lendlease, some of Australia's biggest firms.
And why do they do this? Because there is money to be made from that information, right? And so a whistleblower blows the whistle. That's what they do. They have been under scrutiny since. Because of the previous PwC scandal, I mean, we're now kind of getting to the point of a story is being built about the partnership structure, the way that these firms, perhaps through the way that they're structured, there is an incentive really built in to this kind of behaviour.
To do the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. So when we talk accounting, a lot of eyes glaze over, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But this is serious stuff. You point to the two examples, and the KPMG one at the moment underscores why the government is right to be moving on this now with this options paper or discussion paper and signalling very clearly that they want to take some serious action. So with PwC a few years ago, it was partners sharing confidential government data. That led to hundreds of PwC partners going, the partial breakup of the firm as well. That was a voluntary move by the firm. Now the KPMG issues and allegations are around, as you point out, accessing through audits of the big companies, the private sector, data that's then used to try and win over new clients. Now, the KPMG CEO is gone, the chair is going, I think about eight top partners are going. So, you know, there's a clean out underway there. What this options paper now looks at, that the government's talking about today, the Treasury's put together, would involve stronger government powers and regulatory powers that could force the breakup of these big four firm. We call them accounting firms, but it's kind of accounting, consulting, advisory, auditing. It's a bit of everything, and they're hugely successful and valuable companies. But it's about saying you can't be an auditor as well as all these other things necessarily. So there's a few ways you could do it. The options paper looks at some of them have grown to like 1,000 partners. And you could say, look, you can only have 400 partners, and that might force a breakup of sorts. An operational separation, as the Assistant Treasurer Dan Molino says, which would mean auditing and accounting firms are not permitted to offer both auditing and other services to the same client. So you can't go
to conflict of interest.
Yes, that's right. Or you could have a stronger, even structural separation or breakup, and that would be requiring the firm to only offer auditing or offer accounting and other services. So it sounds like this is coming. Government's not committing to anything just yet, but the timing of this, the way they're talking about it, I think those big four would be feeling a little nervous.
Oh, absolutely nervous. Mm. I mean, their big companies, their entire business model looks like it's about to be smashed. That's a strong word, but really some of these options are that. Mm. I'm not saying they can't survive or find other ways, but that is a huge impost. But it's of their own making, David. This is the thing. I mean, you only face these kind of repercussions and big structural change and legislation when you've forced the hand of government. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the government, like, was desperate to do this. But in fact, to give her credit, Deb O'Neill.
I was going to give the shout out there because I think Deb O'Neill, New South Wales Labor Senator, Chair of the Parliamentary Committee, who has just been dogged on this issue from PwC to KPMG now and really pursuing in the Parliament and through hearings, this sort of, you know, rotten egg behaviour and structural problems there too. So, yeah, it deserves the shout out for the work that she's put in here. But look, it'll be interesting to see where this goes, what this does. I mean, as Dan Molino said today, it's about trust and integrity. And all of our, you know, superannuation savings really rely on having integrity around what's going on in firms that are being invested in, mm-hmm. either through your super fund or directly. And if we can't be certain about that, then that's pretty fundamental.
Yeah, it's absolutely fundamental. Look, I think that it's inevitable the government's going to act here. I mean, you don't put out this paper unless you have an intention to actually push it along. And you've seen the coalition, really, like, you know, I think Paul Scar was really key, for instance, in the Senate interrogation recently of KPMG. So we are seeing, I think, a political consensus, if you want to call it that. Grow to say this has to change. And look, that's the point of the, can I say, of the Parliament.
Yep.
Like, when things are demonstrably failing.
Yeah, but you want the Parliament, the both sides of politics to work together. Look, it's not the sort of thing that will, you know, turn up in question time because it's not, you know, a big point of disagreement. They won't be shouting over this. But yeah, it's an example, let's see, of where they can work together to make some important change.
Mm. And if you go to, you know, just the politics a bit, because there is a little bit of politics here, the populism, anger at sort of, you know, big business.
Big end of town.
Yeah. And the way that they, you know, I'm going to use this term deliberately, like take the piss of us, the little guy. There's a bit of this here too.
Yep.
And I think there was a story, for instance, this week, I mean, which is kind of adjacent, it's not the same thing, but the two men being sacked from Ernst & Young for accessing the PM's personal bank info while auditing the CBA. Yeah. I mean, that story was really alarming.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's
different, as I say.
And as the PM said today, it's before the courts. We'll see what happens there. But yeah, alarming, absolutely. As he said, that anyone's private bank information, let alone the Prime Minister's private bank information.
Anyone's, yeah.
Could be accessed.
Yeah, I'd be pretty angry. Okay, the coalition.
Mm.
What a time to be on 17%. It's 17, isn't it?
It's 17 in the news poll.
17%.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Wasn't there a John Howard famous bulletin magazine?
And that was about his personal rating, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Why does this man bother? Or someone will correct me if I'm
wrong. You've got to keep bothering.
It was on 17%.
Yeah, you've got to keep bothering and look at John Howard. He went on to become one of the most successful long-term prime ministers that the nation's had after suffering that. So it just shows politics is
it can turn.
It can turn really quickly, right? But still, the things we're seeing at the moment are pretty disturbing for the coalition, and they're pretty openly talking about it. Everywhere I go, they're just like really upfront about how bad it is for them. These talking points, so, you know, I think our listeners know what talking points are, but I'll explain, you know, like the sort of Prime Minister's office makes them, the opposition leader's office makes them, they give them to their MPs. These are our main lines. This is how to tackle these thorny issues when you get asked by people like me and you, David, which we ask. And you can tell when a talking point is being regurgitated because generally you sort of bore for Australia. You're like, here I go. And because I do The Daily Show and you used to on Sky, you know, you get the talking points out a lot.
All
and,
the time.
And I just go into some sort of, do you see it? Like, I'm deceased inside. I'm deceased.
You don't put up with it.
Me? I'm like, oh, just can you stop that?
So... Claire Armstrong got a hold of these. She was showing them to me yesterday. They were so extensive. I've seen talking points over the years, but yeah, you're right. What was it, 7 pages? There was a lot in there for a poor old backbencher or frontbencher to digest and regurgitate. So, you know, sympathies. But look, no great surprises, I don't think, in the talking points. I think the thing that struck me this week since the polls, which were, you know, a few things. They were a reality check for One Nation. They were, I think, a confidence boost for Labor at the end of a bruising post-budget period. and they were a gut punch for the coalition. That the little drop off in One Nation support didn't come back to them, that it went to Labor, and the coalition went down further. But what's been interesting, I think, is how some have reacted. You know, you got Melissa McIntosh talking about a rebrand and really digging in on that, even though no one's, you know, rallying to her side on the idea that you'd rebrand the Liberal Party. Everyone seems to be dissing the idea. But anyway, you got Andrew Bragg, who you spoke to on Arvo Briefing on Tuesday, saying we've really got to get radical with reform on, you know, tax and superannuation and all sorts of things.
He said people want to burn down, and fair enough.
Yeah, he's been thinking big. Andrew Hastie, who you also spoke to, and, you know, to be fair, he's been saying this for a while now. Yep. They need to be more ambitious on a few things. So, there's no shortage of thinking going on in the Liberal ranks, is there?
No, but what I do want to point out is that I think that the rebuke, which was a pile-on, actually, on Melissa McIntosh, and it included people like, you know, Tony Abbott, like, just, like, going, nah, like, that's, you know.
No, I didn't see that. So he actually...
I think that, you know, you've heard lots of big, wild comments being made by people, including Andrew Hastie at different points.
Including Tony Abbott.
Yeah. But the rebuke of her has been very specific, and it's been noticed by across the parliament.
That it's a gendered sort of difference? Or?
Gendered is one thing that's been put to me by a few people. That matter. And the other one is just the double standards, Like, so, you know, we've seen for a long time a kind of speaking out of school by lots of prominent liberals about things. And it continued yesterday, I think, with Andrew Bragg. And yet when she did it, it's not okay. I mean, Tony Abbott called it a brain fart. That's very rude.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Brain fart.
Right.
Well, I don't think you might not agree with it. But actually, the party's on 17%.
Yeah.
Others are talking very openly about the kind of manifesto and taking on different things. And I don't know, I'm calling it as I see it, double standard, mate.
Yeah, and it's such a fascinating dynamic now with Tony Abbott as president, a former prime minister and one who is still so active in the policy ideas space to be the president. And, you know, you heard Andrew Bragg again this week talking to you saying, you know, he's really meant to be just doing the, you know, managing the administrative side of the party.
Maria Kovacic said the same thing, and she's, of course, another moderate.
He can't stop, can he? I mean, he gives that speech to the Conservative conference in London.
And why is that? Just to pick you up on that, yes, he gives that speech. There's a form of words he used that I think are significant.
Yeah, and I don't have them in front of me, but it was the form of words around protecting that Anglo-Celtic culture.
Yeah, and the idea that mass immigration is an orchestrated project of the left to get rid of.
To extinguish.
Extinguished, basically.
Yeah, Anglo-Celtic culture.
I was about to say European, but it's not even European. I mean, my people aren't even in that description, like the southern part of Europe's in that description. Seriously, which is a huge part of the immigration story and a huge part, can I say, of the Liberal Party's voting bloc in the past. Like the ethnic communities that have actually traditionally supported this idea of a small government party that allows business to flourish, lots of ethnic communities. Some of this language, I think, is exclusionary and problematic for
them. And it's not consistent with the history and tradition of the Liberal Party on the multiculturalism front. So if we're talking about rebranding the party, PK, is that what I'm being facetious there? But look, whatever you think of Tony Abbott's, you know, ideas and speech there, it's not doing the management administrative side of the party, is it? He's talking about policy, immigration, you know, in a trend sense, in a big picture sense about where Australia's heading and what we need to think about. But that is the sort of stuff that's the remit of elected MPs. Now, he's a former prime minister, and I'm sure he would think that as a former prime minister, you know, I'm entitled to give my views on all sorts of things. But this is the difficulty of being both a former prime minister and a current party president who says stuff that then elected members like Andrew Bragg, Maria Kovacic have to mop up
or
distance themselves from.
And overshadowing the leader. And Angus Taylor is struggling to cut through. And and he's making it harder for him, quite obviously. I mean, that's just like statement of the bleeding obvious as far as I can see it. Look, before we finish, I think it's important just to mention that we've had block three of the hearings underway for the Anti-Semitism Royal Commission and some really high-profile submissions from politicians. McNamara MP Josh Burns, who's also Jewish, of course, and has faced vile abuse that has been like revolting, he outlined some of the ideas he has, particularly in relation to social media and its menacing role in sort of allowing some of this stuff to really gather steam and harass Jewish people, including Jewish MPs. Former Attorney General Mark Dreyfus had a submission too. He spoke of his desire for hate speech laws to be strengthened. Now, you know, wasn't that long ago that that was on the table, but the coalition did not get on board with those stronger laws. No. But it looks to me like the lot of high-profile voices saying this should happen. The Royal Commission's final report will probably go in that direction.
Yeah, which is due by the end of the year. Yeah. And, yeah, I did think it was interesting, Mark Dreyfus talking to you on Afternoon Briefing about, you know, his hope that that Royal Commission final report will create some moral weight behind revisiting the sort of hate law approach that Labor tried after Bondi but had to water down to get through the parliament. Look, and on the evidence that's been given, I think it was important for Josh Burns in particular, who spoke on 7:30 last night as well, I think to give everyone a bit of a sense of the tone of the anti-Semitism that he's copped, the tone of the abuse that even his partner cops. Just because she's in a relationship with him, I know we say this each time, but it's eye-opening, it's really troubling, and more needs to be done to stop this. Now, let's hope the Royal Commission comes up with some answers and some directions on this. But yeah, right now, some of the evidence that we're hearing, some of the ideas being put forward to, I mean, and the reminder, not that this is new news, but that, you know, there are kids in Australia who go to Jewish schools where armed guards are stationed out the front is just appalling. So yeah, let's see where the Royal Commission lands on some of this and yeah, whether that does give a push to the parliament on a few things.
Yeah, I think that idea of the moral pressure is an important one because remember, and I know it was under a different leader, but you know, the coalition really pushed for this Royal Commission and really, you know, if you want to use their form of words, and I think it's half true, you know, put so much pressure on the Prime Minister that he ended up doing it. Now, I think it's the Jewish community too that was putting that pressure, and they probably matter a whole lot more than some politicians in this equation, of course. But having done that, if it goes in that direction to then say, nah, if the government, you know, says, okay, we're going to do this, that's a pretty bad look. I mean, that's a future problem for them, not a current problem. But that's going to be
it's a good
test.
One to flag. Yeah, it's a good one to flag. And remember, this was the issue when the Albanese government bowled up the hate speech laws that broke the coalition again. You know, this is what they split over. Remember that whole kerfuffle when Susan Lee was still the leader and Nats in the Senate not voting the way that the coalition was voting in the lower? It all became so messy, they broke apart. And that was really the end for Susan Lee. So, yeah, we've seen this bring them unstuck early in the year. Let's see where this goes and where the Royal Commission lands, but then whether the government tries again on some of that hate speech stuff.
I suspect they absolutely will, and they have, again, the sort of moral imperative to if the Royal Commission wants them to. That's it for Politics Now today. David, thanks for joining me.
Thanks, PK.
And Fran and I will be joined by SBS's Anna Henderson on the Party Room tomorrow. If you have a question for us, please send a short voice note to the party room at abc.net.au and we'll endeavour to answer it. David, what's your outfit for the ball tonight? The parliamentary, so for those who don't know, the midwinter parliamentary ball is on tonight, so as much as I can in terms of the Chatham House rules, I'll give you the hot takes tomorrow on the podcast because I will be there.
All right. Look, the blokes have it considerably easier.
No.
Black tie.
No.
Black tie for me. Is that too boring? PK, what are you going to wear to the ball?
Well, David, great question. Look, I love an outfit.
Yeah.
It's quite plain tonight, but it's nothing too snazzy, but I'm going to look like a grown woman. Adult going to
Excellent.
A function.
Why not?
Okay. See you, David.
See you later.